President Biden announced that he's commuting the sentences of roughly 1,500 nonviolent offenders who were released from prison and placed on home confinement during COVID. He is pardoning 39 Americans convicted of nonviolent crimes. Savannah, that is the biggest single-day act of clemency in modern history.
Maybe he's just trying to take some of the pressure off of Hunter after pardoning Hunter so early. Again, that early pardon of Hunter probably had something to do with trying to beat the sentencing in those two trials that Hunter Biden was facing. But now we have a whole slew of nearly 1,500 sentences that have been commuted and pardoning 39 more people. What do we make of this? Let's talk to our friend Cully Stimson back here on the Annie Fry Show with us. Cully, welcome back. It's always good to speak with you.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you bet. The pardons that you've seen today from Joe Biden, what's your thoughts on his choice to pardon and commute these sentences at this time in the remainder of his presidency?
Well, he's flexing what little muscle he has left. He's doing so under the plenary pardon power granted to him by the Constitution. And, you know, outgoing presidents who are no longer accountable to the electorate and basically immune from congressional oversight are essentially freed from the political restraint on their behavior. So they use the pardon power. Think of, you know, Clinton when he pardoned Mark Rich, et cetera. So I don't think this is going to be the last we're going to hear from Biden in pardons.
One of the questions, the big questions that's swirling around in my head is when we listen to Donald Trump talk about his day one initiatives, the border and energy seem to be, I heard today he's going to sign 25 executive orders on day one, and they're going to center around the border and energy. Of course, we're talking a lot about mass deportations. Does the president have the ability to pardon non-citizens for entering this country illegally? Is there any restriction on who the president can pardon based on their status as a citizen in this country?
Yeah. So first off, and I knew you were going to ask the question, so I looked it up. There's no Supreme Court decision on point, but there is some settled law in this area. So any president can pardon a person for a federal offense that they did or might have committed, including reentry into the country in violation of criminal law. But remember, the president cannot pardon anyone for a civil wrong. So being in the country unlawful itself is not a crime. So Biden can't use his pardon power to go after people who have committed civil wrongs like illegal aliens. But if they've left the country and then reentered, that's a federal crime, and he can pardon them. Now, he would suffer massive blowback for that, and how he would identify them is a different sort of prudential question. So I think you got to read the pardon power and the take care clauses of the Constitution together. So yes, he has the power to pardon, but he also has to take care that the law is faithfully enforced. So I'm not sure he's going to care much about that on his way out the door.
He's making some pretty bold moves when he chooses to make those moves.
Right. But again, I don't think he's done. I just don't think he's done. I don't think he cares now. I mean, he lied to the American people. Everyone knew he was lying when he said he wasn't going to pardon his son. He did it anyway. And so I don't think he's done here.
Cully, this is Ryan Wiggins. I got a real question about the the way this idea of a preemptive pardon has come about. I've never heard of this before. I don't know if this has ever happened before. But is it possible to preemptively pardon somebody from a crime they haven't necessarily been convicted of yet?
Well, Biden thinks so. He did that with his son. He said any crime he had committed or may have committed. So maybe that falls into that sort of nebulous zone. But typically, you know, the pardon power extends, at least as it's been used in the past, to a federal offenses that they did commit or might have committed. And I think, you know, to be Clintonian on you, it matters what the word if, you know, is. Here, it matters what the word might be.
Okay.
And so, I don't want to play semantic differences, but I think he could argue that the might means somebody could argue that they did, and therefore I'm going to immunize them from future federal prosecution. Mm.
We're speaking with Cully Stimson, a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Check out his book, Rogue Prosecutors, How Radical Soros Lawyers Are Destroying America's Communities. I wanted to ask you about that pardon power. And I don't know if you got to watch the whole interview with Meet the Press that Donald Trump gave this past weekend. But there was discussion about pardons there. And Donald Trump and Joe Biden and Kristen Welker was asking these questions. And one of them was if Donald Trump would accept a pardon from Joe Biden. Are there any court cases that still exist, any lawfare that Donald Trump is fending off right now that could be fall under the guise of a presidential pardon?
Yeah, well, remember, the president only has the constitutional authority to pardon somebody for a federal offense, not state court offenses. So the New York case and the Georgia case are just out of the question. Biden does not have the authority under the Constitution to pardon Trump for either of those. And it's also important to think about the procedural posture of the federal cases that remain. The Justice Department has moved to dismiss the cases. The judge has granted the dismissal, but in their motion to dismiss, the language they used was very squirrely. It basically said, well, we think we had a strong case. We stand behind the facts in the case, but it's off the legal counsel policy not to prosecute a sitting president. Mm. That leaves you in legal limbo. That leaves you in the, okay, I guess we're going to just count on the statute of limitations running, and therefore they won't be able to bring it up, or are they going to come back later if the Democrats get in power and say, well, that time period when we put the case on ice, it was told, it stopped the clock running, and therefore we can bring it back. So Trump could, Biden could pardon Trump just now for those federal cases that remain. I gotta wonder whether Trump would say, you know what, I don't know, I see your pardon, but I don't want your damn pardon.
Yeah, that was kind of his sentiment there. He's like, why do I need a pardon? I haven't done anything wrong.
Right, which he's maintained all along. As a legal matter, it would put it to bed forever. But he may just want to leave it out there to remind people what they did to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's.
And Biden hasn't said anything about pardoning Trump for that, if any of the federal offenses. So it may be a hypothetical discussion.
Yeah, for certain. Cully Stimson speaking with us right now. I assume that you know way more about this than I do. I don't know how well studied or interested you've been in this conversation so far that has taken place. Circling birthright citizenship. The 14th Amendment says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. My understanding is that constitutional scholars have argued whether or not that applies to people who come here illegally, have a baby as soon as they cross the border, that child should be a citizen of the United States of America. Do you think that there is a constitutional argument as to whether or not that's what was intended by the 14th Amendment?
100%. There's an ongoing legal debate. I think one of the top scholars who say that Trump can end universal birthright citizenship and the Constitution never requirement is Amy Swearer, who's a colleague of mine here in the Legal Center at Heritage. And she has a piece that just came out on the Daily Signal, but it references a law review article and two very, very long Heritage legal memos that sort of talk about the history of the 14th Amendment citizenship clause and how it doesn't amount to automatic universal birthright citizenship at the time it was ratified, and how only in recent years have practice sort of assumed that automatic citizenship was bestowed upon people if they came here. And so I encourage your folks to read her scholarship, Understanding the Purpose of the Citizenship Clause. You can go to the Daily Signal and read her stuff. But Amy Swearer is one of the people on this side of the argument that makes a compelling case. Now, there are really great legal scholars on the other side, like Judge Jim Ho, who just from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals down in Texas, who takes the opposite opinion. So it's an ongoing legal debate, and one that I think we're going to have to become a little more steeped in and conversant in, because if Trump follows through on his promise, this is going to be a topic next year.
Has that question been challenged in the courts yet to any measurable degree?
No, not really. I think if you listen to Trump during that interview, he said he was thinking about doing it by executive order in his first term. But then because COVID came up, that sort of focused all his attention on that. And he said, and I think he's right, that, you know, there's a real debate even within the conservative legal movement about whether you have to do it by a constitutional amendment or what other means you have to do it by. So if he tries to do it by executive order, it'll be challenged. Constitutional amendments are hard, but not impossible to get done. So we'll see which method they try to use.
Kelly, you talked about talking to your colleagues at Heritage in the legal realm. Is there ever been a time like this where you're constantly having to go back and ask questions? It seems like around every corner is a new question that we've had to face that maybe we haven't really done this before in America. You know, are the laws standing up the way that they should? Are you happy with where we are?
One of the my favorite quotes from the founder of the Heritage Foundation, Dr. Ed Fulmer, who's a dear friend, said and says all the time is, there's no permanent victories and there's no permanent defeats in Washington, just permanent battles. And the battles are oftentimes the same battles. And he's right. I mean, this time is unique, but it is every time is unique. And a lot of the times the arguments that are being made now, you can go back to previous scholarship or previous arguments or previous legislation or harken back to other court cases where an aspect of this argument was made. Like I've been following the U.S. Naval Academy case brought about their use of race in admissions. And it was tried here in Baltimore just a few weeks ago. The judge ruled that the Naval Academy can use race in admissions and says that the Harvard and UNC cases where students were fair admission won are not applicable because the U.S. military has a national security exemption, essentially. And we've seen that argument, and I've been writing about it in the Daily Signal, in other contexts. So I think a lot of what we're seeing today is informed by what's happened in the past. This president is sui generis. He's unique, obviously. And so there are going to be new legal arguments and new policy positions pushed. I think DOGE alone, the DOGE department, the DOGE effort is going to bring up a lot of interesting legal issues. I think this mass repatriation effort is going to bring up a lot of interesting legal challenges. But a lot of them are informed by the past.
Well, we're going to continue to watch. I think there's going to be some very interesting legal developments over the next the remainder of Joe Biden's presidency, certainly as he continues to issue these pardons. But of course, when Donald Trump comes in and challenges the status quo, that's when the court system generally gets involved and we get some clarity on some of these issues. But we appreciate your clarity so far, Cully Stimson. Thanks for being with us today. We're going to have you back soon.
Always a pleasure. Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye. He is a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, a former local, state, federal, and military prosecutor. And you can check out his book, Rogue Prosecutors, How Radical Soros Lawyers Are Destroying America's Communities. Quick break. When we come back, Wiggins America, you want to give us a little tease on what we will be regaled with?
You know how I care about you. We want to look
up
at...
up in your mouth right now?
What no.
Who...
We want to make sure that when you go to Christmas parties and holiday parties, that you're doing it right. So we have the 10 do's and don'ts of partying this Christmas season.
I've been to so many parties where afterwards you asked questions. I can't wait to hear what comes next. Wiggins America on the Andy Fry Show. Don't go away.